Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Everyday Bitcoin, a Bitcoin podcast focusing on Bitcoin's use as money, as everyday money, and its adoption, use as medium of exchange. Today, new episode, we are coming to you on April 17th, 2026, at a block height of about 945,494, a current exchange rate to the dollar of about $77,900. Price has been up, it's been down. It does whatever it's going to do, but we're not here to talk about price. What we are here today is to talk about Bitcoin, obviously, but more specifically, Zeus Wallet. I'm here with Evan Kaloudis. Did I pronounce that correctly?
You got it, Keith.
Nice. So I'm here with Evan.
Thanks for having me on the program.
Yeah. So I'm here today with Evan Kaloudis. So yeah, Evan, welcome to the show. Great. Thanks for coming on.
I'm really excited to chat with you. Yeah, I think the ethos of your show really lines up with what we're trying to do over at Zeus, and really about making Bitcoin payments a reality and making Bitcoin, you know, money we use every day.
Yes, nice. So I guess just to get started, could you, I guess, just give the audience a little background on like who you are? I guess obviously a little about Zeus and your Bitcoin journey, your story, whatever you want to. However many details you want to disclose, I suppose.
No, I've disclosed quite a bit. Well, I've been in Bitcoin a while now, probably class of 2013, 2014. So I was studying CS, and it took me basically all of my undergrad to wrap my hand around Bitcoin and use it and actually understand it. You know, as someone I studying computers. And, you know, my first impression, just seeing it on like Slashdot or whatever, I'm like, oh, this is nerd money. This is like a RuneScape gold. Uh-huh. And it was not until, you know, years later where I actually got my hands on it, started sending around, just recovered from seed and be like, okay, this is magic. Mm-hmm. From there, got out of undergrad. I got a really great job working in cybersecurity for like 6.5 years, and I wore a lot of different hats there. I was a front-end engineer, back-end engineer, worked on the cloud. I was a analyst helping secure these big clients that our company had, including these financial institutions. So, you know, that was a real trip, you know, seeing some of the oldest banks in America get on board with Bitcoin. I'm like, what the hell is this traffic here? What's on port 8333? It's like, oh, shit, they have Ethereum traffic over here too. Whoa, these guys are experimenting with all this crap. So that was a real trip. So it was at that job I started building out Zeus as my first real big free open source project in 2019. And, you know, so I'd been in Bitcoin a few years, you know, stacking, learning what I could. And, you know, Lightning Network had always been on my radar. You know, I had known that Bitcoin wasn't going to scale, and it certainly wasn't going to be used for everyday payments, especially with, you know, having to wait for block confirmation on average of 10 minutes. Yeah. Sometimes worse if you had a lot of, didn't set your fee rate right, if there was a lot of, you know, traffic. So, you know, Lightning was pretty exciting. I think my first Bitcoin node I ran, and I wanted to signal for the user activated software to get SegWit in. And, you know, shortly after that, I was running my own Lightning node. I think my first one was on like a dinky little Raspberry Pi 3. But it was really cool once, you know, we got those channels set up. I think I went on 1ML.com, set up some channels to some nodes that had a lot of capital. And then, you know, just doing some test payments, like, you know, just little things. Like, I think the Blockstream store had a little payment you could make and get some really cheap stickers saying, oh, I got Lightning running and all I got was this stupid sticker or something. I got some of those.
Yeah.
But yeah, over time it grew and the network and the graph started to grow. And, you know, I thought it was pretty cool that I could earn a couple of sats here and there by facilitating these payments, by being in the middle of these payments and being a routing node. But for me, it really wasn't about that. It was about, you know, having the power of this thing in your pocket. And, you know, I knew the point of Lightning was really to make those in-person payments. So I'm like, okay. I'd been working as this engineer. I got my bearings. I wanted to do a mobile app, you know, using the React Native framework, which I'd worked on React for the web. And yeah, I just sort of built this thing to scratch my own itch and basically check in on my node, see how it was routing, how my channels, if it was all connected, you know, just on the train to and from work every day. I'm like, okay, there's no place I could spend this Bitcoin in New York, really, you know, other than an ATM to switch me out, which I didn't want to do. But maybe one day I'll be able to use this to actually make the payments, and the circular economy is going to kick off. And, you know, just over the years, it slowly built up over time. We got contributors looking at it, people using it, users providing feedback. And then, you know, over those years, I had sort of made a foray more into the Bitcoin space. I worked at Kraken for a year and helped them with their Lightning Gateway so that users can deposit and withdraw Bitcoin via the Lightning Network. I did some contracting work for about a year and a half, a little less, at Lightning Labs. And then 2023, I went full-time on Zeus. Went through the Wolf Incubator, got a little bit of startup capital. And then it was at that point, Zeus sort of changed from being this remote controller where you connect to your LND or Core Lightning node remotely or in the cloud, you know, at home or in the cloud, I mean, to like a more all-in-one package where you run the node, the wallet on your phone without having to connect anywhere remotely. We started launching our services, like the Lightning service provider that helps you get channels so you don't have to, you know, set up your channels in advance to start sending and receiving payments. Yeah, then we started slowly building out our team. And now our big push as of late is the latest release of Zeus version 13. And really at the core of it is our new graduated wallet experience. So now you get onboarded and you have the option of starting with Cashew eCash. We do this really awesome onboarding experience where we use the Nostr Web of Trust to figure out which mints you should connect to. Okay. We've always thought we've loved Cash in that it has really cool properties. Obviously, on the downside, it's custodial, right? It's like you have a Bitcoin bank that can bring you at any point. But compared to all these other new L2, L3 things that we've been seeing, it was really refreshing to see it was designed with privacy in mind first. So that really caught our eye, and we started messing around with it. We added preliminary support last year. And we built the Lightning address system upon it and provided really good UX. So now this release, you have this graduated wallet. You start with Cashew. As you build up your balance, the wallet sort of prompts you and says, hey, balance is getting sort of large. You think it might be a good time to upgrade to self-custody? Hit this first button. You could go on and get a channel through self-custodial Lightning through the LSP. Hit this other button. You can do a swap out. And you can land on-chain. You can go to your on-chain wallet in Zeus. You can send anywhere out you want. You can send it to a hardware wallet, whatever the hell you want to do. And we think this is a really unique value proposition because we've sort of built the Bitcoin wallet that grows with you. And I got into Bitcoin somewhat early. I wouldn't consider myself like OG. Definitely not. There's people who are in way earlier than me. But at the time, it was very hard to find, you know, reliable resources or people I could trust to point me the right direction. But I felt the times I felt most comfortable was when I had someone reliable I could talk to in person, shake their hands, look in them in the eyes, and say they'd give me insights. Today, I feel like that's not as necessary as there's so much information. But I really think that all of this person who guides you we call this the, I call this the Bitcoin Sherpa. I think your wallet can play that role. It can point you to educational resources. It can tell you what all these concepts are. What is eCash? What's Lightning? What is on-chain Bitcoin? Mm-hmm. And it can sort of grow with you. So instead of saying, hey, you know, you started with this wallet. Now you have to go through this entirely new experience, this new interface. You sort of have this familiar basis, the same wallet. It just unlocks more features, more functionality, more controls as you go. And, you know, it really doesn't force you. If you're not ready to upgrade, if you're okay keeping these large balances in eCash, you can just dismiss all the warning and say, hey, Bitcoin Sherpa, I'm good, dude. This is not a lot for me. This mm-hmm. might be a lot for the next person, but I'm really good for now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it'll go again and prompt you when you've hit the next threshold that we think is important. So it's super unique in that regard. So the Graduate wallet is at the core of it, but we've also made all these other very interesting engineering improvements, just in terms of the architecture of the app. We originally wrote the app with Cashew TS, which is a JavaScript TypeScript based Cashew library, and we rewrote everything from scratch using the CDK Cashew DevKit library, which is a Rust binary, and we got really good performance out of that. And then the other big piece is the node in the phone that we added in 2023 is based on LND, which is great. It's a powerhouse. It's definitely the way I recommend to run a Lightning node today, at least. But on mobile, it's a bit heavy. It has connectivity issues based on how it privately fetches everything. And we're putting a more lightweight node in the phone option in LDK node, which is also a Rust-based library, stands for Lightning DevKit. So we've added a lot of Rust. We've really optimized the performance of everything. It basically will work on any smartphone with any internet connections you can imagine. Hell, even if you're offline, you can still receive and send Cashew tokens. You know, there's caveats to that. There's trust involved. But in people in the poorest places in the world that barely have connectivity, they can still transact with Bitcoin now, which is really amazing. And we couldn't really say that the same for the existing version of Zeus 12.6, where, you know, if you're running LND on the phone, it's heavy. You need a certain amount of RAM. If your connectivity is bad, you can't even sync to the chain. Those issues will sort of go away with all this new architecture.
Nice.
So a lot of work has been put into this release. It's a lot snappier. And we're in the testing phase right now. We talked a little earlier, when's the podcast going to drop? It might be out on the app stores right now, but as of the time we're talking, if the current block height, we're in beta testing right now. Mm-hmm. And hopefully in the next week or so, it's going to be on app stores for everyone to download on iOS and Android.
Nice. Well, thanks for all that. That was a lot of good details, a lot of good info. A lot of things I'd like to explore there. So you said, so you're class of 2013, which I would say you are an OG, at least. I mean, obviously people came before you, but for the vast majority of people, I'd say you're pretty OG. definitely for me. And then you said 2019 is when you started on Zeus. But real quick, so you said when you were working in cybersecurity, there were some big banks that were already dabbling in the cryptocurrency space, like 2016, 17 time. Wow, interesting. I had no idea. And then is there a reason why, because Lightning though was published in 2017, if I'm not mistaken, is there a reason why you wait till 2019 to decide to start on Zeus, or is it just like a time thing?
No, it's time thing. I believe it wasn't until like a year later until we actually had mainnet for it. So like 2018 really got into it, and then, you know, everyone was sort of dabbling around. But yeah, there were definitely a couple of wallets that came before Zeus in that timeline. But Yeah, I guess that's just around the time that I decided to dive in. But yeah, I guess summer of 2018 I was starting to mess around with it. But you know, it took a little time to get that confidence to actually hit that publish button for our first release.
Yeah, I'm
But
sure.
you know, if you're building something new, like I just encourage people just get it out the door when you think it's safe enough, at least from a security perspective. I see a lot of people, you know, AI is such a great tool and it lets you iterate so quickly and prototype really quickly. Security is super important. That's the one thing you don't want to overlook. But other than that, I think it's so important for people to just get their ideas and their products out the door and get that flywheel, that feedback loop out as soon as possible, right? Like you're gonna probably be too close to it. You're probably not gonna be using your product the way that, you know, hundreds of other people do. And you know, the sooner you also get it out there, the sooner you're gonna have people actually combing through the code, potentially submitting PRs to make it better. So yeah, I mean, obviously security is like a whole other crazy domain, and you might need to have or seek out some people that I mean, depending on the project, obviously if it's a wallet and you're talking about people's money,
Yeah, it's a big deal.
that's paramount. But other than that, the feedback loop has been critical to us, and listening to our users and getting feedback and not taking anything to heart and just being focused on making the product better, has really been imperative for Zeus's success to date. Absolutely.
That's great. That's awesome. Admittedly, I don't use Zeus too much. I want to start using it more, so I'm excited for version 13 to come out. In
Oh yeah,
general,
if this is perfect for everyone. Listen, we still have a lot to iterate on. There's a lot of UI changes that we're going to be iterating on in the following major release. But we finally think that, you know, performance-wise, onboarding-wise, this is a super powerful wallet that starts easy enough that you can give it to your grandma.
That's awesome.
And you know, it really has upset me a lot of the different experiences that we've seen where wallets have had to, you know, like leave markets, you know, I mean, after the conviction or at least after the arrest of the Samurai developers, you know, a lot of people left the US markets. Some left the market on Thanksgiving while people were at the dinner table with their families. And it really just upset me that you know, all these people had onboarded these people onto these custodial solutions that left the market, and you know, it was just a terrible thing to either, you know, either leave these people stranded where they might not have access to their funds anymore, or having to go back and give them a new wallet to get onboarded onto. And you know, I think we've built Zeus in a way where that wouldn't be necessary. So we're really proud of that, and we're really excited to have, you know, more novice use the wallet, be able to get a Lightning address really easily, be able to participate in the Noster economy, and you know, hopefully grow with people. So we're super pumped, excited for all the feedback we get, and we're going to keep iterating on it. But I think we have something really special here with this release.
Nice. Yeah, I'm really excited to check it out and start transitioning more to using Zeus. In general, I want to get deeper into Lightning. Like my only Lightning experience has been, well, like Wallace Toshi or the custodial like Strike. I do have a self-hosted Albi Go at Albi Hub, but I do want to get more into like opening channels and I guess managing my own node, maybe doing routing. I know you kind of at this point need some pretty big channels to do that, but I want to get into Zeus more. Start using it, and I was toying around with the current edition before we hopped on together, and Yeah, I think it's super cool. I've always seen it as more of like a power user, like a power Bitcoiner tool. So, but the thing,
Absolutely.
so yeah, so I'm really excited what you mentioned about like the graduated wallet, I think is what you said, and like kind of introducing people slowly and then like prompting them, like being their mentor, their Sherpa is what you said. I think that's,
The Sherpa,
yeah, I think that's really cool. And hopefully that is one less friction in terms of like normally like I would have to read on some website about using X wallet and using like a node or whatever and then have to open my phone and like follow along. But if it's all if you're staying on the phone in the wallet itself, I think it's a really major barrier removed that you can just do it real time.
Right, there's going to definitely be loads of improvements that still have to come down the way, but I really think that this is a really nice baseline. And yeah, I think we're just like in a super unique position to like offer this sort of product. Like we did start as the cypherpunk node runner thing, right? And then we've just been gradually lowering the bar, node in the phone, LSP, and now the graduated wallet. There's a lot of challenges, especially in the user interface, like not revealing too much to the user. That's something we're still thinking about and planning on iterating on. But on the other side of the flip side of it, I think it's so much easier, so much more difficult to do it the other way around. Like, how are you going to be like a custodial wallet and try to take someone to real self-custody and set them up with their own real node? Like, it's a much more difficult endeavor, I think. So we welcome the challenges that we have, but we think we're also super uniquely positioned to offer up this wallet that's really one of a kind right now.
Yes. I think it's always great to challenge ourselves and push the limits of what we can do, what we think we can do. And just create the obviously a really great product. So super excited to test out the version 13 of Zeus. In terms of so I here in North Jersey, I started North Jersey Bitcoin a couple months ago and I've been trying to build a community, not only a meetup and like just like orange pilling, but an actual like Bitcoin community. Of people and of businesses. So do you think is Zeus something that I could onboard a well th version 13 is that would that be a quick and easy way to onboard a merchant with to accepting payments, do you think?
Absolutely. I think it is gonna be wicked quick to start up, especially with the new LDK node. It's gonna be wicked cheap to set up, as they can just get set up with Cashew to start, and you really don't have to worry about them about the balance. The Sherpa is gonna kick in and say, guys, do you wanna go to your on-chain wallet? Do you wanna go to self-custody Lightning? And then on top of that, despite having a really simple, clean interface where you can just type in an amount, easily denominate all your charges in dollars, we also have a dedicated point of sale mode within the app. You
Yeah.
can track your inventory. You can say, hey, what products are at what prices, have them easily pressable. Whenever they're ready to upgrade their setup too, if they want to get their own dedicated Lightning node, like some of the merchants that we've onboarded use, they can do that too, and they can still have all of their products prices in there as well, no problem at all. So yeah, we're really excited. I think the main difficulty was, besides the LSP and having to get channels up there. Listen, we're really proud about like how cheap we were able to get the cost down with different setups. But still, most people still don't want to pay even $5 to get set up and try something new. So
Yeah.
the Cashew stuff really eliminates that. And for us to get out of the experimental mode and really solidify our implementation is really big. But also just the new node in the phone, how quick it is to start up within just seconds, not having to worry about having good internet or sync the block headers like the old embedded LND node, which is still there for users who want it. We're not rugging anyone. I just think that this new LDK node is more conducive, and less technical and less concepts to understand, and better UX, for most people's needs.
Okay.
And it's something we're going to keep iterating on and adding the features that we want to see to it too. Yeah, I just really think that the average person is going to have a much better time with the new version of the watch. So we're really excited to see the success stories that come out of it.
Yes.
And hopefully more merchants.
Yeah. Oh, yes, for sure. That'd be great. Yeah. So with Cashew, the person, I guess in this case, the customer on their end, they can send just even out of like Cash App or Strike or something, and the merchant side.
Absolutely.
Okay. That's
Yes.
awesome.
So Cashew has really cool properties, right? You have this token-based system, and this opens up a whole world of functionality that you didn't have before. First and foremost, I think it's the gifting and online offline sending and receiving. These tokens are so cool. You can post them in an Oster note, and someone can copy and paste it into their wallet. You can print it out onto paper, and you could give them a Bitcoin bill, which we're
Ah.
printing a whole ton out for the Bitcoin conference. We're gonna have seven different designs, some that we've done, some many from our friends and artists that we really look up to in the space. And we're gonna be just giving these bills out at the conference and around Las Vegas and see how easy we can make this onboarding experience for servers. And we've got this really novel QR code where it takes you to the Zeus website if you don't have a wallet. You get onboarded there in just a minute or two. You go back to the web page or you scan the QR code again in the Zeus wallet, and you can import that money, get set up with the mint that it belongs to. So that's really cool. But going back to your original question, sorry, I've been going on a lot of tangents this.
Oh, you're fine. I love it.
But you could transfer the e-cash in that token form and just send it back and forth. But really, all of these mints, they really by default, just by the standard, they're all connected to their own Lightning nodes, so they can all send and receive via Lightning. So anyone else participating with the merchant making payments to them, they're not going to know that the merchant is receiving it as Cashew. It's Lightning that is the lingua franca of the Bitcoin payments economy, and that's not going to change anytime. Just have so much momentum. It's just that people are going to come to the table with different flavors. Some people are going to run their own node. Some people are going to run a node in their phone. Some people are going to use Cashew. Some people are going to use other L2 custodial systems like we've been seeing left and right. But at the end of the day, if we all know how to talk to each other, then commerce on great scales can occur. So
Nice.
it's very exciting to see play out and grow out in all this
Yeah.
very unique way.
Is Cashew considered layer 2 or layer 3? Or is it kind of like a weird thing?
So people don't really like to call it a layer three, but it was on top of Lightning, I would say.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's a pure Bitcoin layer. It's like, it's a custodial thing. I'll refer to it informally as like an L3,
Okay.
but
Like a sub L2.
it's just a custodial thing, but it has quite good privacy, and it's really easy to level the trade-offs with users, and we really love the privacy that it affords people. I really don't think any of these other systems that are coming up, Spark, Arc, namely, have really bad privacy compared to eCash. Yeah, that's one of the main reasons that we decided to go down this path.
Nice. Yeah, I always hear that like Wallace Toshi, which uses Spark, is like super duper not private. Though I honestly I don't know how to learn more about what exactly is being leaked or visible. So I do want to look into that further. And ideally onboard
Well,
somebody. Oh, sorry, what?
yeah, I mean, listen, the Spark stuff is a real can of worms. And at its core, it's really cool technology and it can offer up really awesome user experiences. but people really need to be aware of the trust trade-offs with the technology at its core. It's an account-based system. The providers it's a really small core that have worked together. And really at its core, it's really just marketing gymnastics to try to pass it off as self-custody to the regulators when it's really not. So the service provider has insights into all the payments and all the balances that the users make. And I think that's going to be a bit unavoidable moving forward. But to make matters worse, implementers such as Wallet of Satoshi and the new Tether wallet that just came out a few days ago have implemented it worse than it has to be, where the Spark account numbers are actually embedded into the invoices. So that if you receive a payment using Wallet of Satoshi or the new Tether wallet, anyone who you share an invoice with can look up your entire balance and your payment history. So I don't know why these institutions, these developers are making the privacy on Spark even worse than it is, but they need to be called out on it and at the very least rectify it and implement it how at the very least how it should be, so that not everyone you interact with has your whole balance, right? The service providers will still see it, unfortunately, but you don't really have to give out how much you own to everyone you transact with. That's just absurd.
Yes.
And you don't have to. There's people like Breeze and the Breeze SDK, people like the Blitz wallet. Like, they don't expose the Spark account numbers like Wallet of Satoshi or Tether have. So it's a real baffling decision. I'm not sure if it's a regulatory. I'm not sure if it's a lack of engineering prowess. But it is a real head scratcher. And I just want people to exercise caution if they're playing with those wallets. Stay away from those two specifically for now, at least.
Yeah, for sure. Something to keep in mind. What was I going to say? I know Primal as well, just to go into quickly into Noster. So they just incorporated Spark to do their self-custodial wallet. So
yep.
Do you know by chance when you're zapping? Obviously, it's all public, so everyone can see the zap. But do you know, is that info also exposed when zapping? Could you easily see someone's Primal wallet balance? Would you know?
No, so Primal, I believe, have done their integration with the Breeze SDK. So you can't really tell their balance. Obviously, the zaps that are the default public zaps, right?
Yeah.
Those are recorded to Noster relays. But no, I don't think it has the same affliction. I think at least for Primal, it's a step in the right direction, because previously they were just using custodial Strike accounts.
You yeah.
could set up, they would cut you off and if you didn't KYC with them. So it is a step in the right direction, but I think there's a scary reality where, Spark, the company might require everyone who has an account to KYC or lose access to their funds, which would be scary.
That would be terrible.
At the very least, to answer your original question, no. Like, if someone has a Primal account in their Noster bio, you can't look up their balances. But if someone has a Wallet of Satoshi address as their Noster inbound Zap wallet, you can generate an invoice from that Lightning address. And from there, you can pick out the Spark account number, which you can query on the open Spark Explorer.
Oh.
It's really, really baffling. But, when it's sort of at the crossroads of this other like Web3 DeFi world, the Ethereum world, where many people think of it as a feature that, oh, look, everything's on the ledger. Oh, you can see all the different balances I have across all these other tokens. And it's really antithetical to what we're trying to build at Zeus and
yeah.
the world that we want to see in terms of Bitcoin payments. So it's upsetting in a lot of ways. All we can do is try to build better alternatives. and you know, inform users who might not know as much, or that might be misled by you know, just misleading marketing.
All good things to know. Okay, what was I gonna say? So back to Zeus. So Cashew, you can just instantly download, start accepting. But if someone wanted to accept Lightning, there would be, you would have to open a channel, correct? Or you can
You can accept Lightning. You can accept Lightning payments on the Cashew layer.
Okay.
You'll generate a Lightning invoice, and it will fill up your Cashew balance. So you can have a Cashew-based Lightning address through Zeus too, that you could put in Noster, and people are zapping you. It all happens over Lightning, but the balance is held on a Cashew mint. So for all transactions, we can basically use that Lightning layer.
Okay, cool. I'm just thinking, like, in terms of if I'm like at the coffee shop, and actually I decided to also kind of start like a business where I would ideally get a business set up with like BTC Pay server on their own self-custodial node, but as a fallback, because most businesses, like my rock climbing gym for instance, they didn't want to do that, but they want to get their feet wet. So I was like, great. And unfortunately, I guess I got them set up at Wallace Toshi as the quickest and easiest low friction, but I'd love to switch them over to Zeus when the version 13 comes out. So I guess it's more so me being able to talk to the merchant and be like that, telling them, I guess just being open and honest and knowing and telling them if, since it is Cashew, if they are trusting the mint with their funds, or versus just saying that like strictly you are in control of your funds. So in this case,
right,
they would still be trusting the mint, right?
Yeah, out the gate, if they're using the Cashew mode, for sure. But if they want to just get a channel on their node, then they start to eliminate that trust, which is really nice. I think for a business that might have multiple checkouts and multiple terminals, you know, nothing's really going to beat having a remote node or BTC Pay.
Yeah.
That, you know, different, you know, if two Bitcoiners come to the bar and two baristas are preparing their stuff at the same time, like, it's really not great UX if they're like, oh, which is the phone that has a Zeus wallet on it, you know? But once you have a remote interface, you know, everyone have each point of sale station can have their own connection to the node. And, you know, that could all be Zeus if they so choose. But
awesome.
There's plenty of great ways to do it.
Awesome. Yeah, I'd love to start. Well, to start being able to recommend Zeus as a quick and easy way to get merchants onboarded. And I'm pretty sure you do have Bolt 12, correct? For like a static QR code?
This is a fantastic question, Keith. So previously, so 12.6 Zeus, you can only use Bolt 12 if you had a core Lightning node as your remote node.
Okay.
But now that we have LDK node built in, we have full Bolt 12 support. So it's really not great for receiving when you're offline. We still recommend people use the Lightning address system. But if you want to make Bolt 12 payments, you're ready to go now. There's still some things we want to do under the hood, including upgrade some of our LSP stuff to make things a little bit smoother. As long as you have an LDK node on your phone, you can basically make those payments.
Okay. And then when you say that, like, for offline, it'd be better to use the Lightning address, do you mean the @ZeusPay address?
Yeah.
So the QR. Okay.
So what you can do right now, there's a couple different modes we have for ZeusPay. One is our self-custodial Zap Locker, which has been a little controversial over the years. But it was for a first of its kind. We use HODL invoices for that. I think the most common one is our Cashew Lightning address, which is super novel, but super easy to get set up with. And then for really advanced users who might have their own remote node, we also have an NWC mode where you can set up your Zeus Pay address to point to your remote node, which is really cool. I think one understated feature of our Lightning address with Cashew is that you can set it up to automatically sweep to self-custody. So you can have your node, it's offline most of the time. The Mint, it will be collecting your Zaps, your payments, your Lightning address. But when you open up your phone, you can set it to automatically take all the balance that you've accumulated on Cashew and move it to your self-custodial Lightning channels. So I think that's really the best of all worlds right now. Some of these other solutions with Bolt 12 receiving right now aren't so great. I think the most well-known implementation of that right now is the Phoenix wallet, which is actually pretty cool. It'll go and it will wake up your phone when it detects a payment is inbound. But you lose like a layer of privacy. It sort of knows all the payments that are coming into your wallet, whether using that Bolt 12 address or not. So if we can find a way to do that in a more privacy conscious way, I think we would move in that direction. But for now, I think the Cashew ZusePay addresses are the way to go.
Okay, awesome. All good info for me to have for when I'm going around town trying to onboard merchants. Cool. Very cool. Very excited for this. I know you want to be conscious of your time, so we'll go a couple more questions if you don't mind.
Cool.
More so, I'd love to get your thoughts on more generalized Bitcoin as a medium of exchange. What do you think right now, at least in the US, is the biggest roadblock to more medium of exchange Bitcoin adoption?
So number one, I'd say more than anything, right? It has been the merchants. The number of merchants out there has been really, really low. There's been a lot of grassroots efforts to increase that. And I really think we've got a really nice kick in the ass, a nice turbocharge with all the efforts the good folks at Square have been doing.
Yeah.
And they've been slowly moving to automatically onboard all the merchants. I think that's going to be massive. I think that's huge. And I think it's like a bit of a chicken and an egg, but you know, the consumer side is getting there. There's a lot of good options. Now the merchant side is growing. I think that's number one, first and foremost. I think there's a lot of challenges with where we're at with retail in general. And I feel like it's sort of twofold. I feel like number one, the average person, not just in the US, I mean, probably in the US less so, but in the world is probably pretty broke and living paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
And the volatility of Bitcoin is a big challenge. And there's a really interesting tension between trying to alleviate that and potentially go a stable coins route. But at the same time, that goes against everything we've been trying to build with Bitcoin. And if we're just building systems to strengthen the fiat currencies, to strengthen the dollar, then all of this is for naught.
Yeah.
And I think that's very short-sighted. But nonetheless, a very, very big challenge. Like, how do you get people to think about saving? How do you get people to think about thinking long-term? How do you get people to stomach volatility? These are all very real challenges, and I don't think anyone has the real answers to it. You know, part of it is people having to get burnt. Part of it is education. Part of it is community efforts. Yeah, I think that's paramount. And I think we also have this interesting tension of, you know, I was saying retail, people who might be investing, they've just been rugged by all these exchange and shitcoin scams. And, you know, in the eyes of most people, they think crypto is a scam. Mm-hmm. And they are largely right. And it's very difficult for us to say, hey, guys, this is the one exception. And here's why. It's very hard to articulate. And, you know, we can go back to my story about being someone studying computer science and being somewhat well-versed with technology, not being a Luddite, trying to learn actively about it. But, you know, it took me many years to get into Bitcoin. And, you know, I shuddered to think like, okay, I didn't have a lot of money to put in when I was a freshman, but I'd probably be much more well off if I got in 2010, 2011. So that's another funny thing to think about. What I don't think is holding people off from Bitcoin is the units. People talking about, oh, use Big B everywhere. I think that's silly. I don't think that's it. But listen, I think end of the day, building out the Bitcoin economy is like a mega marathon. It's the marathon of our lives.
Yeah.
You know, I think everyone participating in it and trying to facilitate it, they need to be cognizant of it. I need everyone here to listening here to understand like this is something that can take another 30, 40 years plus, right? And if you want to be actively contributing to it, you need to find a way to be doing it in a way that's sustainable and in a way that's not going to burn you out, because it is going to take that long. And you know, it's difficult. It's so difficult, especially when we try to reconcile the way that you know, American capitalism works, in the way that people think in terms of quarters and in terms of their returns, in terms of getting capital to run their companies. There's just so many challenges in it, and you've got to really be flexible and, you know, just think for the long term. We all want to be optimistic. And it's so difficult to think out in terms of years, let alone decades, but that's what it's ultimately going to come to, and it's going to take durability and a degree of openness and open-mindedness to know how it's all going to play out, because we don't know. We think about the game theory of the nation states, but no one has thought it was going to play out like the way it has. No one. There's a future, and hindsight's 2020.
Yeah. Real quick, are sats the standard for you? You a sats?
Yeah, I'm sats the standard. I'm sats the standard. I think the unit should be left as is. I am strong knack on, what is it, BIP 177. I think that causes more confusion. I think a conversation has to be had with the average person about that, regardless, because they see in the media, in Financial Times, in newspaper headlines, that Bitcoin is at 50, 60, 70, 100,000. So they need to reconcile that with people somehow anyway.
Yeah.
I just think it's there's better ways to do it. So we're not BIP 177. I'm open to other proposals about how we can improve upon it. I think the coolest thing that I've seen recently is the idea that, okay, we keep Big B at the front for full coins, but we can do a trailing little B for sats. I think that sats are the standard and should continue to use them as such, but maybe they can be called something else. Maybe we use sats and bits interchangeably. I don't know. I think the pricing and the 21 million meme are pretty firm, and yeah, they open up a whole can of worms. And I think there's like a lot of crazy parallels. If we think back in history and think about how language has been manipulated, if we think about how terms have been redefined to suit different people's, you know, different agendas and all that stuff, rubbed me the wrong way. There's so many other brilliant approaches that we can take. We don't need to say there's 2.1 quadrillion Bitcoin or what.
Yeah,
it's not. you know, anyone who's accepting Bitcoin, who makes that plunge and is open to it, is not going to get wrapped up on, oh, that's what a Satoshi is. I explained what a Satoshi is to a 65-year-old guy and I'm onboarded to Bitcoin, and he's like, oh, I get it. It's like cents to the dollar. Yeah. There's a whole lot more of it.
Exactly.
It takes 2 seconds. One way or the other, you're having a conversation. Either they're going to be like, what's a Satoshi? Or why do I have 30,000 Bitcoin for this transaction? Am I loaded now? One way or another, you're having that conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
So why throw away all of this great history and mimetic content? It just seems silly to me. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it plays out. Obviously, big players like Square are on the BIP 177 train.
Yeah.
But sats are the standard. So yeah, it plays out.
I agree. Sats are the standard. But yeah, it is kind of a bummer that Square is doing the 177 route. And like, if that is a major catalyst to more mass adoption, unfortunately, the newcomers will know it as that and won't know the history and know it as what it should be and what it and the sats. And I've also seen that the preceding or the Bitcoin symbol before the number as in full coin and then after or even just lowercase or after as sats. I think that could be good. And yeah, I agree. It's very easy to quickly just tell somebody, oh, it's 100 million sats per Bitcoin, like 100 cents per dollar. And they instantly get it because it's not hard.
Yeah, it's not crazy. You know, it's something that's definitely been frustrating. I think maybe we have the opportunity to do something and lead by example in the Zeus app. Obviously, we'd never fully get rid of the ability for you to display sats as SATS. But who knows? Maybe we throw our own sat symbol in the mix and we see how people, respond to it. So mm-hmm. That could be fun, too.
Yeah, for sure. And I also think, just to wrap up this note, that 21 million is a number that you can conceptualize in your mind, but 2.1 quadrillion is not a number that someone, at least I think, I don't think anyone can conceptualize that.
Absolutely. And listen, I don't think that the sheer scarcity of Bitcoin is going to bring everyone to the table, but it's so important, especially in today's world, especially with the insane money printing that's happening right now, the increased money printing that we're expecting to come down the pike, to dilute that part of the message. And I think it's a very, very slippery slope going down this path. And I think it's something that people are right to be steadfast about and
yeah.
Not to want to compromise.
Yeah.
But it's okay. At the same time, you know, we also need to realize that, you know, people who are going to with this approach, they have a different perspective than ours. We hope that the idea doesn't succeed, but, you know, they're not necessarily bad people they might be out doing other great things. Mm-hmm. We just have a difference of opinion on this thing, and people are going to feel passionately about it in both ways.
Yes. And I think also that maybe because we're very used to using millions and billions in our day-to-day life, I would say very rarely trillion, but like almost you never see quadrillion written anywhere or read about it. So I feel like if someone were to, if you were to tell somebody, oh,
last years at all, you know?
Yeah. It just seems seems like a joke, like, oh, quadrillion. That's non-serious saying quadrillion. So, cool. And then would you have any tips or advice for people looking to get started with Zeus that previously only have like used Lightning and Bitcoin in a custodial way via like Cash App or Striker? Any tips, advice?
Yeah, absolutely. Try out version 13 when it's out in the next week or so. Love to get feedback. We're really responsive both on our support email, on our Telegram chats, on Noster, on Twitter. You don't have to start large. You just wet your feet, put a couple dollars in it, get your Lightning address, get your new 12-word seed LDK setup, and just try it out. We think that the experience is second to none now, and we're really excited to get this in the hands of many, many more Bitcoiners.
Nice. Good stuff. And then, if you don't mind, I started doing this at the beginning of the podcast, and the past episodes I kind of forgot, but I'd like to ask the guest one non-Bitcoin related question. So what makes you lose track of time?
That's ideally... What makes me lose track of time?
Yeah, that's ideally not Bitcoin related, but it can be if that is the true answer.
I mean, listen, I'm a workaholic. I definitely lose track of time in the day trying to do everything, but now just spending time with my family, hanging out with my kids. You know, life goes by really fast. You know, the days stack up, and you know, I just try to reflect and you know, be grateful for the time, but also realize that it's all slipping by one second at a time. It has really made me reconsider all my priorities and consider what I say yes to, but more so what I say no to is become more important than ever.
Yes, hard agree. And then before we wrap up, is there anywhere, where can people, if anyone, if you want to tell people where they can find you, follow you, any last things you want to say?
Yeah, absolutely. So we got a brand new website, Zeus LN, for LN is Lightning Network, is ZeusLN.com. Brand new Zeus website. You'll be able to get the new version of the wallet there. The beta's on there. We also have a lot of white glove services for businesses. So if you're a merchant, you're looking to accept payments, you need infrastructure set up for your company. You want to do routing and make some fee revenue on that. We can help you there. There's a lot of contact forms to check out. But we have our links to our Nostr accounts, our Twitter accounts on there, ZeusLN on Twitter, Zeus at ZeusLN.com is our NIP05 on Nostr. And like I said, we're on Telegram, Nostr, Twitter, GitHub, wherever you can find us. We're always listening and trying to improve and keep improving on the product. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Love it. Well, Evan, thanks so much for coming on, and maybe we'll have you on again at some point later on in the, maybe, I don't know, 6 months to a year, see how things are going with Zeus, and I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully before then, get some feedback of yours on the new version of Zeus, and hell, maybe I'll make the drive up to New Jersey, show me some of these merchants you've been onboarding, and enjoy some grub or brew together. That would be fantastic.
Yeah. Of course, you're very welcome. Let me know if you come up. You should come up, show you around, bring you to the cool spots, like cool Bitcoin spots. Actually, I'm going to go there right after this and use Zeus to pay for a cappuccino, I think. So I'm excited. Nice. Excited. Awesome. Excited for that. Love. Great. Cool. Well, thanks everyone for listening. Thanks again to Evan for coming on. And catch you guys in the next episode. Bye.
Cheers, all.